We continue now with Masachas Beitza Daf Lamed Aleph. We're going to begin about 12 lines or so from the bottom of the page. The beginning of the line, Umatchilin Ba'aremas HaTevin. The Mishnah taught, Umatchilin Ba'aremas HaTevin. Rashi says on the top of the Yom, let's just go back to the Mishnah, Lehesek. It says over here that you can begin using a stack of straw, Lehesek, in order to burn for fuel for fire. Vafa Pishlo Zimna B'Yibod Yom. And even though this was not designated before Yom Tif, V'lohi Rogel Lehesek Mimena, and you would not normally go to this pile of straw in order to use it. And this seems to imply that the Tan over here is pretty makel when it comes to the din of muksa. The Gemara is actually going to comment on that immediately. So now the Gemara in the bottom of the Yomid. Omer of Kahana Zosa Meres, Matchilin Ba'otzer Techila. Rav Kahana says, we see from here, Matchilin can begin Ba'otzer Techila. So Rashi says over here, what does it mean, ba'otzar? B'davar ha'otzar, something that was stored away, shahia muktzah, because really it's muksha, la'otzar is man aruch, kahai gavna, the stomach otzar no sala behema. That this was probably stored away for a longer period of time, probably intended to be consumed by animals, and now you decide that you want to use this for fuel for a fire on Yom Tif. So the Tana says that this is permissible, and Rav Kahana says, this would seem to indicate that we can start using wood that was previously in a storage area, or straw, to be precise. So says the Gemara, Mani, Reb Shimon hi, the lesson of Muksa. This must follow the opinion of Reb Shimon, who's maker when it comes to Muksa. And even though really we should have forbade an individual from partaking of this straw and using it for firewood, because really it was not designated for this purpose, the fact that the Tan is maker would seem to indicate that this reflects the opinion of Reb Shimon. But says the Gemara Masefa, but if you look at the Sefer of the Mishnah, it says Avalo be'etzim shebemuksa, but this does not include wood which was placed in the backyard, meaning wood which was not designated for Yom Tif. So Asanu Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Muksa. So it would seem that the Sefer of the Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Muksa. So this inconsistency prompts the Gemara to wonder what is going on over here. The first part of the last section of the Mishnah seems to reflect the position of Reb Shimon, who's a maker when it comes to Muktzah, and the Seifa of the Seifa, the last part of this last section of the Mishnah, reflects the position of Reb Yehuda, who is Machmir when it comes to the case of Muktzah. So says the Gemara, Hocha ba'arizei va'ashuche askinan. Over here, the end of the Mishnah is talking about arzei va'ashuche. What are arzei? Arzei are, is talking about cedar wood, and ashuche is another type of wood. What both of these have in common, says Rashi, arzei v'ashuche eino d'meisik osan d'omdin l'binyan. This wood is never used for firewood. This is never used for burning, because they are used especially for building. And they are really made and most useful in that particular function in that way. And so therefore, what the Gemara says is that this latter case in the Mishnah, when it says at the end that v'lo be'etzim shebemuksa, that's talking about arzei v'ashuche, which are set aside for building. The muksa machmas chesron kis, over there's a concern that it is what it's considered to be a monetary loss to use it for any other purpose, and so therefore it's muksa in that way, v'afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh, and even Rabbi Shimon is going to be modeh that this type of case is going to be muksa. Meaning, as we've explained numerous times in this Masechta, when we say that Rabbi Shimon lesley muksa, that's not a rule across the board that Rabbi Shimon completely, categorically rejects the entire notion of muksa. Of course, Rabbi Shimon also agrees that there is a concept of muksa. However, the parameters of of what is considered muksa and what is not, so that's a subject of debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is lenient. However, over here, when it comes to muksa, machmas chesun kis, muksa, in which a person would typically not use this item for this particular function because it would be considered a loss. It's a waste to take cedar wood and use it as firewood. It's something which is relatively expensive and best utilized for purpose of binyan. And so therefore, even Reb Shimon would agree that if you want on Yom Tov to go ahead and take the wood from the muksa, meaning from the backyard, and use it for this purpose, that is prohibited because that is for sure going to be muksa. Continues the Gemara, Ikad Masna La'aseifa. There are those who taught that Rav Kahana's statement, which we've seen previously, is actually going on the seif of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said of a lo be'etzim shebamukza, a person cannot take wood which is in the backyard because this was not set aside beforehand and it's a muksa. So Amar Rav Kahana said zeus meres. So we see from here ein maschilin ba'otzer techila, that it is prohibited, one is not permitted to go ahead and start using items that were placed in a storage area, as we had seen earlier, because this was probably meant to be used as animal food. So money, so says the Gemara, and whose opinion does this Tana follow? Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Muksa. So it would seem that this position reflects that of Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmir when it comes to Muksa. So Eimer Eisha, but the problem is that the first part of the last section of the Mishnah says, Maschilim Baremes HaTeven, that we may begin to go ahead and use a stack of straw which had been designated for animal use. Asano Rabbi Shimon did lesli muksa. So this seems to reflect the position of Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of muksa, or at least not, again, in its broader sense, who's more makel when it comes to muksa. So again, the Gemara is essentially asking the same question that we'd seen earlier, just starting from a different point. In the end, the Mishnah seems to be self-contradictory. The first part of this latter half of the Mishnah would seem to reflect the more lenient view of Rabbi Shimon, and the seif of the sefer reflects the position of Rabbi Yehuda's machmir. So Hasam says Gemara b'tivna sariya. Over here, the beginning part of the Mishnah is not talking about regular teven, but rather tivna sariya, which means straw which has become ruined, it's become decayed, in which case it's no longer really going to be roi for achilas behema. The animals are not going to use it, and so therefore the best use for it at this point is to use it as fuel, in which case even Rabbi Huda, who's typically machmir when it comes to the shaylas of muksa, will be makel over here. It says Rashi, nir kaver masriach shein roi lemaicha behema. This tevin is now ruined, an animal is not going to eat it. Stami le'etzim, and so therefore, minastam, what are you going to use it for? Firewood, v'lo la'achila, v'hainu la'otzer, and that's what it means, la'otzer. Continues the Gemara, tivna sariya ha'chazi latina. If you're dealing with straw that has become ruined, that's become decayed, so there are still other things that you can do with it before burning it. Chazi latina, it could be used for cement. So this is something which is another purpose, which obviously on Yom Tov you're not going to be preparing cement, but that's exactly the point the Gemara is making. Why do you assume that this is not muksa because it's no longer roi l'achilas behema? But there are still other things you could do with it. You could use it to prepare bricks, in which case it really should be muksa. Says the Gemara, the isbe kotsim. No, we're talking about tevin, which has kotsim, it has thorns in it, in which case it is not going to be roi for achilas behemah, as we already explained, nor will it be usable for the purpose of making cement bricks, in which case it's not muksa, even according to Behuda, and that's why it could be used for firewood. We now continue with the next Mishnah, which appears on the top of the next Amud Laman Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein notlin etzim in asukah, elim in asamakla. That on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to go ahead and take etzim, wood, detach them from a sukkah. We know what a sukkah is, from a hut. Elim in asamakla, however, it is permissible to go ahead and take etzim from that which is connected to the sukkah, that which is next to it, as we will explain in the Gemara. So first of all, Rashi points out over here that even though we're using the word sukkah in the Mishnah, it's actually not talking about a sukkah in the most familiar sense, namely a sukkah on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Rather, says Rashi, we're talking about kagon bePesach or baTzeres. We're talking about a person who is sitting in a sukkah, obviously not to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiva Sukkah, but he's sitting in a hut. He's sitting outside during the Yom Tov of Pesach, let's say, or baTzeres. VeYoshev baSukkah beginu baParadeis, and he's sitting in a nice hut out in the garden or in the orchard. He's not permitted to go ahead and to take away a piece of the sukkah, to remove wood which has been attached to it on Yom Tov, but he can take from something, again, which is samach to it, as we will explain. What is the problem over here? So the problem over here, this is what's called the malacha of soser. One of the lamentes malachos is soser, demolishing. We know, of course, that there's malacha of boneh, to build, to construct something. And of course, there's a malacha, a related malacha of soser, to demolish, to deconstruct something, which is a previously constructed item. So the Gemara later on is actually going to be talking about how this relates to a real sukkah, meaning a sukkah on sukkahs. But just to be aware that as this discussion begins, we're actually not talking about a sukkah, and again, in the most familiar sense. So it says the Gemara, Maishna min asukkah delo. Why is it that a hut is different than a normal case where it would be permissible to go ahead and take a piece of wood?
So says the Gemara, there is nothing different about a sukkah. The kasasar ola, because really what you're doing is you're demolishing a ohel, which literally means tent, but in this case really means any structure in which there's a roof. You're not permitted to go ahead and to take part of the roof away, because you are demolishing a structure, a binyan, an ohel. So there's nothing unique about this. It makes perfect sense. This is prohibited because this is sasa. Says the Gemara. So if that's case, minas samach lanami kasasa ola. So if that's true, then why does it make a difference if we're talking about removing eitzim from the top or from the side? If it's from the samachla, you're also going to be demolishing the structure, and it should be prohibited as well. So Amar Yehuda Shmuel, my samach. What does it mean when it says samach in the Mishnah? Samach l'defanos. It means wood that is adjoining the walls, but not connected to the roof at all. So Rashi explains over here, samach l'defanos, kinim haniskafim svivas l'defanos. If you have reeds that are standing up close against the wall of the sukkah, kevan shalom nergu im hadofan, since they are not connected, they are not interwoven into the walls, l'batel l'gabi dofan. They're not considered to be batel to the wall, they're not considered to be part of the wall. V'en odom l'samach l'schach, and this is not to be compared to a case where you have reeds that are samach l'schach, she'aschach inu arug, the schach to begin with, as we know, is not arug. L'fichach ha'kol shava elyon k'ta'achton schachi. Doesn't make a difference, that which is on the top and the bottom, it's all considered to be part of the schach. So when it says samach over here, it means specifically samach l'defanos. So that's the first answer that the Gemara provides. The Gemara now presents us with another possibility. Rav Menashe Amar, afilu tema b'she'enu samach l'defanos. You could even say that the Mishnah is talking about a case which the it's not necessarily joined to the walls. Kitanya hi b'isu raisa. When is it that the Mishnah say that it's permissible to go ahead and to remove eitzim that are samach l'tefanos? This is talking about b'isu raisa. This, which means when you have bundles of reeds that are placed on the roof. So Rashi says over here, b'isu raisa chavilo shokanim kinim. We're talking over here about bundles of reeds shenasan al aschach midelo hitir ogdan. So the fact that they were not untied, they were just placed as a bundle, lo batlinu legabischach el hatsniem shem. So clearly they were not placed there for the purpose of serving as part of the structure. Rather, it's just there for storage purposes. It's just a great place to go ahead and to temporarily store a bundle of reeds. And so therefore, it's permissible to go ahead and to remove it. That's what it means when it says, samuch l'defanos, it means even removing something from the roof itself. The Gemara now quotes a braisa, which elaborates on this din taught in the Mishnah. Tanya, Rabchi bar Yosef, Kamed Rab Yochanan, ein lotel eitzman asoke, elemen asamuchla. As we saw in the Mishnah, you cannot take wood from the sukkah, elemen asamuchla, only from that which is adjoined to, that which connects to the sukkah. Reb Shimon Mati, Reb Shimon permits this. V'shavin, but all agree, b'sukkah sachag b'chag, when it comes to removing part of the sukkah, or something which is joined to the sukkah, on sukkahs itself, meaning on the actual yomtiv of sukkahs, everybody agrees, she'asura, that this is prohibited. V'im hisna aleha ha'kol ufitzano. If, however, you made a stipulation, a condition before yomtiv, as to what exactly the wood may be used for, so then everything is going to depend on the specific stipulation that he's made. In other words, when it comes to removing wood from the sukkah on sukkahs, in addition to any potential shaila you have about muksa or about soser, over here you have a different problem, and that is that the wood is what's called huktza l'mitzvah. It's been separated, designated for the purpose of use for a particular mitzvah, and this is a whole different situation, a whole different concern. Now we're concerned that you are going to be taking something which was huktza l'mitzvah, set aside for muksa, and using it for some other purpose. You're not permitted to do that. It's precisely for that reason why the braisa says that if you made it tanai, if there's a condition before yomtiv that you may decide to use the wood which is right now being used for the sukkah for some other use, so then I call a fee to know, then everything will follow your condition. So now the Mishnah, the Gemara goes on to analyze the first part of the braisa. The braisa said, Reb Shimon matir. Reb Shimon permits going ahead and removing, as we've seen, part of the eitzim that were placed on the roof of the sukkah. How could you do this? After all, how could Reb Shimon be matir, something which is a real, it's nisa deraisa, demolishing a part of an ohel? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kacha b'sukkah nofelas haskinan. We're talking about a sukkah which already collapsed on its own. We're not talking about a a standing structure, in which case you're dealing, of course, with a very serious potential issue of Soser. Rather, it already fell. The Lesli Muksa, and Reb Shimon Lishitase, who has a very lenient position when it comes to laws of Muksa, says, we're going to be Mekel in this case. The Tanya, as we see, Moser Hashem and Shebener V'Shebekaara Oser. The Tanakhama says that if you have any leftover oil in a lamp or a ka'ara in a bowl, so you're not permitted to use it. Why not? After all, it's no longer lit, so there's no concern over here about taking oil. We're talking about on Shabbos over here, which was previously designated as part of a lamp. Over here, the fire went out. So what's the concern? The concern is that it's muksa, because when Shabbos began, as far as you were concerned, all this oil was going to be burnt. So now it just so happened that the lamp went out, and now you have leftover oil, you can't use it. But Reb Shimon says no. You can use it. What are you going to use it for? Well, obviously, you're not going to light another fire at Shabbos, but you could use it for a salad dressing, whatever you want to use the oil for. He does not consider it to be muksa. So the Gemara now says that's exactly why Reb Shimon permits you to go ahead and take the wood from a sukkah shenol fellas. It fell. So there's no concern whatsoever about being soser the sukkah. So the only shaila is about muksa. So just like Reb Shimon says the moser Hashem and Shebener is not muksa, so too the eitzim, this wood that was on top of the sukkah that fell, is also not considered muksa. Says Gemara Midami, how could you possibly compare? The reason why, when it comes to the Moser Shem, the leftover oil, is because a person is literally sitting and waiting for the flame to become extinguished. In other words, he's anticipating that at a certain point the flame is going to go out, at which point he can go ahead and take any remaining oil. That's all part of his expectation going into Shabbos, that at a certain point it's very likely that there's going to be some leftover oil. But over here, Adam Yoshi Mitzapi Masai Tipo Sukaso. But if you know, a person is sitting and expecting his sukkah to fall, hopefully not. Hopefully he built a sukkah that is going to last, and he has no expectation that it's going to fall. So just because Reb Shimon says you're permitted to go ahead and to take the oil, the Moser Shemen, so that's not a rai over here. Over there, going into Shabbos, he expects that it's very possible that there will be leftover remaining oil, but over here, when it comes to the sukkah, he's going to certainly assume that it's going to continue to remain standing until he personally demolishes it. So, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hacha b'sukkah re'ua askinam, says Gemara, no. We're talking over here about a sukkah which to begin with is re'ua, meaning it is a very weak sukkah, it's a flimsy sukkah. The me'es moldaiti lave. Already, when Yom Tov began, he said to himself, it's very possible this sukkah is not going to make it through the day. It's not going to make it through Yom Tov. And so therefore, he was going to try his best. He's going to sit in sukkah. Calls man at the sukkah standing, great. But once it collapses, so he's permitted to go ahead and take of the wood. So number one, there's no concern of soser, because it already fell on its own. And there's certainly no concern about muksa, because he knew already going into Yom Tov that it was very possible that the sukkah was going to collapse at some point during the day anyhow.